In the last couple of days, at least a dozen of Albanian-owned bakeries and snack bars have been torched or vandalized in northern Serbia. So the Serbian government, of course, condemned the violence, but hasn't missed the opportunity to point out that the root cause was the internationally publicized incident when a drone appeared over the stadium in Belgrade. Maybe you heard about it. It was the drone carrying a banner of Greater Albania, so-called Greater Albania, while a high-tension football match between the two countries, Serbia and Albania, was taking place for the first time after Kosovo declared independence. So some suspects were already arrested, and it will be for me very interesting to find out how is it possible that all those attacks took place only in the north of Serbia, so in one specific geographical area. After the game, we saw Albanians all over the Balkans celebrating the fact the game was abandoned as if it was a great victory, like 5-0 thrashing or something. And my favorite example, Albanian fanatics attacked a Greek village in Albania on the very same evening. So that shows us that nationalism is always kind of history, and history is always blind.
So you've talked a lot about the examples mostly in Albania and Serbia, but presumably things were much worse in Kosovo after the game.
Not really, because only about 150,000 Serbs do now live in Kosovo. They stayed in Kosovo, and they're actually not living with Albanians, but rather beside them. They're often physically separated, and the sparks are mostly limited to the famous Bridge of Mitrovica. It's the city in northern Kosovo, which is divided into southern Albanian part and northern Serbian part. There is often police or international forces standing between them, so not much can really happen. What we saw are some Serbian flags being burned by Albanians, but that's about it in Kosovo.
So even though there's not particular violence within Kosovo, the tensions between the two countries presumably are still caused in part by the existence of Kosovo.
I mean, just look at those two foolish nationalistic ideas called Greater Albania and Great Serbia, which have been dreamed by nationalists for decades. So Greater Albania, Albanians prefer to call that ethnic Albania, and the reason is that it would consist of Albania, parts of Montenegro, Serbia, Macedonia, Greece, and of course Kosovo. So wherever ethnic Albanians live. Great Serbia is also quite ambitious. The territory includes large parts of Croatia, entire Bosnia, Montenegro, Macedonia, and of course Kosovo again. What I'm trying to say, Kosovo is a mythical place in national epic of both ethnic groups. And beyond that, of course, Kosovo was the last great battlefield in Europe. Albanians won't so easily forget all the war crimes committed against them, and Serbs won't forget NATO airstrikes from 1999 with thousands of civilian casualties across the country. But the fact that the hate is still present 15 years after the war and 6 years after Kosovo declaring independence, well, that's the fault of politicians, of course.
How much does the past of the current leaders play into the rhetoric here?
Well, I'm pretty sure that one day we will have Hollywood produce a political thriller based on the true story of current Serbian and Kosovo leaders, because Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić and Hashim Tači, they were really mortal enemies back in the 90s. So Vučić was a Serbian radical nationalist who ranted and raved against the Albanians, and as information minister, he was responsible for censorship and nationalistic propaganda. And Kosovo Prime Minister Tači, he led Kosovo Paramilitary Liberation Army, so-called, which has been suspect of numerous war crimes against Serbs. So it's almost grotesque hearing those two talking about cooperation, European values, and so on. I personally think that people can and should change, but that the politicians on the Balkans change only from the outside in order to gather votes.
And in terms of gathering votes, how much have these leaders actually been fanning the flames amongst their own people, even if they talk a good talk on the European stage?
Well, those people, above all, want to stay in power. They can manage it only if they give their voters a touch of nationalistic rhetoric. And that's exactly what we heard during the last week. For instance, the Serbian president claimed that Albanians generally hate Serbs and that they will continue to do so for centuries to come, while Albanian Prime Minister Rama said that Serbs have once again proven themselves to be racists. It is the political leaders, of course, who enable nationalism and keep it in the mainstream because it suits them.
And how much do you think that these problems at the moment and the postponements of important talks are going to hamper both countries' hopes to join the EU eventually?
Actually, three countries, yeah. Serbia, Albania, and Kosovo. But I think European Union seems to be pleased with agreements between Serbia and Kosovo being signed a year and a half ago, although almost nothing was really implemented. By signing those papers, Belgrade de facto recognized the independence of Kosovo, and Kosovo government had to give a very broad autonomy to the Serbian minority. So the Balkans are supposed to be a successful story of European foreign policy, the only successful story, we could say. And that's why we won't hear harsh critics now from EU officials. And don't forget, new leaders in Brussels just announced that EU will not receive new members in the next 5 years, so in the 5 or 6 years, that all could be ancient history.
The meeting has only actually been postponed for a couple of weeks. Do you think things will have really improved in that short amount of time?
No, of course not, but some more Serbian hooligans and attackers on the Albanian bakeries could be arrested. You know, nationalists can stand their ground for years, but their anger comes and goes. I guess in a couple of weeks, we in DW won't be receiving as many calls for genocide of the other ethnical group. We are very busy, actually, these days, deleting really horrible messages on Facebook by our readers. So it was actually a good call not to cancel the meeting, but to postpone it.
And what's actually expected from this meeting? How will it help both countries move forward, do you think?
Well, the meeting is going to be historic, but only because it happens to be first of its kind in almost 7 decades. On the other hand, the actual on-the-ground achievements of this meeting won't be anything to write home about. We are going to hear numerous diplomatic phrases. Both Prime Minister Vučić and Rama are certainly going to say that incidents are unfortunate and regrettable, but that we should look ahead because there is a great European future waiting just around the corner. To make it short, Vučić and Rama, they won't do anything specific, but they are going to gain some points in Brussels by presenting themselves as good neighbors.